SoundingTheAlarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's March 12th, 2012. On the line today, I have a man of God named Bill Ziegler, a brother in Jesus Christ that's been writing passionately about the burden of the Lord, about his church, his called out, his ecclesia, and how the Lord, as a bridegroom, is coming for a pure bride, and the Lord doesn't want us to have any spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. And the fact is, what Jesus taught is that the enemy has sown among the wheat tares, and they're growing together. The wheat and the tares are growing together until the end of the age, when the Lord sends forth his angels to gather out all that which offends and bundle it together to be burned, but his people will be put in the garner. All of us want to be standing pure before the Lord. We don't want to be a tear. We don't want to be participating in something that is a work of the enemy. So Bill Ziegler has been writing many different articles, booklets on this subject of what has happened over history, how the enemies work. What the people call the church in reality is absolutely so foreign from the scripture. And we want to be examining ourselves right now. We want to be putting away things that are just tradition that actually violate the Word of God. Bill, thank you for coming on the air today to talk about this subject.
Well, I'm glad I'm here, and I hope we have a good conversation, and I just pray and believe that we'll minister what the Lord would have us to say, to reach out to whoever it is out there that may need to hear what we have to say. Sometimes I know my teachings are very blunt to the point. I just tell it like it is, and really, Jesus taught that way. He talked a lot. Jesus himself talked a lot about the tares. He talked about the leaven. He had a whole section on leaven, and a lot of his teachings in the parables was about leaven and about things that were not right in his day. And so we need to understand what leaven is, and how long has leaven been around with God's people. So that's kind of what I want to share something about today.
Beautiful. You know, it's interesting. I know you've written about the subject about leaven, and just a couple days ago I was prompted by the Lord about to look up this text in the scripture about the leaven, because I remember Jesus was saying, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That's Matthew 16, verse 6. And Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 5. And Jesus in Luke 12, verse 1, spoke about the leaven. And, you know, what happens is, this is an analogy, that you take good wheat that's good for nutrient, that brings life to our bodies. This is God's order, the way he created the creation. And you take leaven, which will affect a change among the wheat and the ingredients, and it'll puff it up. Actually, to change the taste, change its consistency, etc. That's how we have bread. But in this context, leaven, a little bit of leaven, will leaven the whole lump. And this is a negative thing. When Jesus is saying, take heed and beware, it's... So this is what I was looking up, Bill. I was thinking about what Jesus said, and I'm concerned about people that profess faith in Jesus Christ. I'm concerned they're not taking heed, and I'm concerned they're not being aware. And I think sometimes, Bill, they see some wheat, they see something good, or even God ministering to them through a corrupt religious system, for example, or through corrupted ministries, and they overlook the fact that there's leaven also.
Well, people definitely do that, and even those of us sometimes who are God's called out, I believe that we sometimes, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but sometimes the things of the world, which are leavened, seem to taste better. doeth than the right things of God, you know, the unleavened. If you think about bread without the leaven in it, it's really not all that tasty if you want to know the truth about it. I mean, you forget to put leaven in it to where it's going to pop up and make a nice mushy loaf of bread, spongy loaf of bread. You have to have leaven in it. And yes, it tastes good, but the things of the world, a lot of them taste real good, but yet that's not what we're supposed to do. And the leaven started out way, 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 way back in the Garden of Eden, when old Slewfoot was sitting out there. And I have a little story that I like to relate for him to introduce leaven. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they were very pure and holy before the Lord. There was no sin found in them. And here come along Slewfoot. One day Eve was out walking around, and the devil was over there, and he was eating now a lot of people say it was apple tree, I got Ziggy's version, is I'm just going to use. He was sitting underneath an apricot tree, and he was eating apricots, and he spit a whole pile of seeds out, and they were there. And Eve come along, and he said, he tried to tempt her to eat it. She said, no, we're not supposed to eat of that tree. But, like the world does to us, to introduce leaven, it'll come back, oh, come on, just have a sip. Just try this drink that I fixed. You don't have to, you don't have to drink it all in all this. But you know how it goes. If you drink a little bit, and, next thing you know, you don't know where you're at, what you're doing, or anything else. So, that's leaven. That's one type of leaven. And eating, it was leaven when he tried to tempt Jesus, in the wilderness. He was trying to introduce leaven, something that would entice Jesus, with food and kingdoms and all the natural things around him of the world that he said he could have if he would just do this. Mm. And so we got to be careful just what we do. But leaven, it's talked about, it's just unbelievable how much there is. There's leavened bread is symbolic in Scripture. And what it does, it really does introduce the ways and thinking of men among the people of God. And also, leaven is the type of sin. It's what it is. But, men don't always want to eat the things, whether it's food or whatever it is, that, even good for our health. We don't want to eat spiritual food for sure, but we don't even want to eat food that's good for our health. And you can just look around our society today and see that. And that's just leaven that's getting to, through the things of the world into people. That parable of the mustard seeds, and that's an example that Jesus talked about leaven. When it's not planted according to the pattern, very little crop, if any, will come about. And, Trevor was talking about the what happens when the kingdom of God grew up, because that's the message God had, or Jesus had. He had the message of the kingdom of God came alongside the kingdoms of the world. And we're to step our feet into the kingdom of God and to be in the world, but we're not of the world. But if you don't plant the seed properly, or if the seed is not sown in a proper pattern, if you're a farmer, you might understand this, but that plant can grow into a 30, 40 foot tall tree, but very little crop will come out of this type planting. And that parable right there, the mustard seed, is a parable of the church with all the wheat and the tares growing up together. It's there. But it started out way before that in the Old Testament. Like I said, he was tempting Eve to eat of the tree of good and evil. And, they got separated from God because of it. And he just used a little human reasoning, a little psychology, and, Eve said, because he says, well, surely you shall not die if you eat of this. I didn't die. There's nobody going to know you ate this thing except me. So go ahead and take a bite and see if you like it. Well, she did, and she ate the whole thing. And so that goes the story. And so they got run out of the Garden of Eden. Cain, he introduced leaven when he offered up an unholy sacrifice unto God, and in the end he killed his own brother. And for for this he is banished to the land east of Eden. Genesis chapter 6 reports the corruption of man because they begin to intermarry with unholy and corrupt women of the earth. I mean, this is leaven. See, any of these things are leaven. And if you go and you look, I've been doing a study on these things that God's people have done and the corruption, you know, that set in because he intermarried with these women. And so, you know, and you can go all the way through Genesis. You can go into Exodus. And in Exodus 12, it talks about, you know, God tells, reminds them not to partake of leaven. And, you know, the rituals that he gave here should be a reminder not only to them but to us to not bring leaven of the world into the assembly of God's people.
Yes.
We've done this before Jesus even got here, and we're doing it even more today because we've corrupted this outward religious institution we call church with all this leaven, you know, programs of men, well, you name it, you know, it's built, it's like it's geared toward our business practices, and we're trying to build something, but it's not of God. We're trying to build something for ourselves that we can be seen, or at least the leaders anyway, as being successful. And we are just consumers, and we're consuming all the religious literature that they sell, these preachers, you know, the big names, and, you know, I know people, and I have to admit that there's a time, been a while ago, but there was a time when, oh yeah, I want to go hear brother or sister so-and-so, you know, the great man of God for the hour, you know, and he has all these great things going on, and you sit there and you listen to all that stuff, and, you know, they use all this hype.
Yeah.
This leaven is all it is, but it's hype, it's entertainment. And that's what's going on in the church today. It's getting worse and worse. And even churches that's the traditional, old churches that are set into the traditions, you know, which that's leaven also, but they're set in the traditions, and they're looking around seeing all these new churches, the emerging church and the new age type stuff. And I mean, you could talk for 3 days. I know Trevor could about this. And, you know, so we need to understand the leaven began way, way back, you know, even the plan in the tabernacle of God, you know, it was talked about the unleavened bread that was laid out on the table. And that's, you know, symbolic of the foundation of Christ and with the 12 apostles. You know, they were to be a pure and holy people separated unto the Lord God. And unleavened bread is a symbol of, you know, really a symbol of holiness.
Yes.
We must be a holy people, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. That means we don't have any leaven in it.
Yes.
How many of us in the church do? We don't. Nobody knows that we're a Christian today. I mean, you can talk to 100 people in a day, and unless you ask them, are you a Christian? And they'll always, you know, most all of them will say, at least down here in the South, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Okay. Either that, or they say, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm this, or I'm that. Well, yeah, but do you follow Christ? Well, I go to church. I didn't ask you that, you know. I ask you, do you follow the Lord? You know, do you walk with God? And I found there's very, very, very few people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say it's easy to do, because I don't every day, but I sure lay it out there and try to do what God wants us to do is follow as following him, because if we don't, everything that we do is going to be leavened. Jesus, what did he do? His example totally was an unleavened life. His lifestyle, his whole being was unleavened. He got before the Lord, he went out in the garden or wherever he went to and separated himself from everything and everybody, and he began to pray to the Father, and only what the Father said did he do. Now that's an unleavened walk with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Trevor, you might want to add on that. That's just kind of some of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about.
Well, I think that's very profound. What you're saying is that this is not a new thing. It's not a novel thing. This is something that's from the beginning of the Scriptures to the end of the Scriptures, and there's an author behind this leaven, and it's the devil. He's a defiler. He wants to trample on what's holy, because he's absolutely opposite of God. God is absolutely holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And God is absolutely true, where Satan, the devil, is a liar, and there's no truth in him, and he wants to trample underfoot the holy things. But we're called to be holy. God said, be holy as I'm holy, and we're to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus was telling his disciples is, take heed, beware of the leaven. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 5, Bill, because this really echoes what you've just shared. This is what Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinthia. It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up. And I read that the other day, and I thought that was so interesting. He's not talking about being proud or boastful, puffed up, but he's talking about you've been leavened. You've been affected in the atmosphere of this assembly of the Lord have been affected by the leaven, which is sin of the flesh, immorality. Let's go on and read this. He says, you've not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. In other words, the environment of the ecclesia here, the assembly of the righteous, had been defiled by activity so contrary to the Lord, and they had just kind of gone along with it, and they weren't opposing it. And there should have been such conviction of the Holy Spirit upon that man. And he said, and then Apostle Paul judges this, though I am absent in the body, but present in the spirit, I've judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, see, it's a gathering. Again, the church is not a building made with hands. It's an assembly of the Lord's people that have been bought by faith in the blood of Jesus. So Paul's saying in his ministry, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, this is 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and following. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?
Right.
He says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You were mentioning how Jesus lived the life of a yielded life, as a servant, as an obedient son to the Father, not doing his own will, not speaking his own words. And that is our example. And what Paul's saying is that we are unleavened in Jesus Christ, that we should purge away this old immorality and all that what leaven is. He says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Yes.
So right there, Bill, we have immorality, sins of the flesh, is leaven. And if you're in an assembly where this is allowed, tolerated to go on, you're puffed up. It's affected you. It's tainted you.
Right.
And that's a serious thing. And I believe the Spirit of God is bringing conviction right now to people, Bill, to bring this attention to brothers and sisters that are professing faith in Christ to fear the Lord in this regard. Put away the old leaven.
Well, that's true. And Jesus had a lot of clashes with religious leaders of his own faith, you know, when he challenged them on all fronts. He said he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He called them, you know, hypocrites, snakes, foolish ones, arrogant, and many other things. But he told the people to beware of the Pharisees because of their leaven, which is hypocrisy.
Yes.
And, you know, they were doing things within their own self, within their own flesh, but it's still leaven. And that's in Luke chapter 12. You could go on and read them for yourself, all the scriptures, but you need to understand that what Trevor's talking about here as far as the leaven in the body of Christ, it didn't stop back then. It's still here. It's getting worse and worse, and there's more and more leaven. And I'm afraid that the whole loaf already is and has been totally corrupted. I don't see anything going on in this religious institution. And we were warned about this. Mm-hmm. The early church fathers, in Jude, talked about leaven that had crept in, you know, stealthily or unnoticed in Jude 3:17. Says these were ungodly men who, like men, you know, they were like ungodly men, the previous religious institution of men being Jews, crept in the church. He summarizes all that had been said in previous section on the leaven of the Jews, clear back in the Old Testament. And we need to know where we come from, to where we're going. And, you know, that little old epistle of Jude is very important. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that, you know, there is reality of leaven that had already crept in the church, you know, back there even in the apostles' time. It don't just sneak in. It's men of God who slowly over time allow things to, well, we don't really have to do this, or we don't have to do that. And they begin to make it a list of rules of do's and don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that about anything. I mean, you could write out all these do's and don'ts because the Jews did that. There wasn't a spiritual bone in their body. But it's a spiritual walk, and that's the problem. It's a spiritual walk, and we have to be led of the Lord and not about us trying to figure it all out. It's not going to happen. So we've got to be careful of the leaven and the leaven in the church. I'm telling you, it's just, I don't know, Trevor. I'm just, really, I see what's going on, and I just don't understand. Revelations 2 and 3 warns the church, you know, in these last days. He's talking about the seven churches which are in Asia, which today is present-day Turkey. It says they were found wanting. They were given warning to change their ways, and yet they didn't see their sin.
Mm-hmm.
And these churches, some believe, you know, that the different church ages, some believe they're atypical of all churches throughout the history. You know, of the, I don't like to use that word, church,
mm-hmm.
Of the whole history of the body of Christ as a whole. So we need to heed and listen and see what the Spirit says to the body of Christ.
Yes.
What does He say to the body of Christ today? Today, this thing called church, you know, that I can't even get it out of my vocabulary. It's so strong. The spirit of that, where it comes from, is so strong that we need to get that word, just cancel it right out of our, you know, repertoire of words or whatever, dictionary words that we use every day. We need to get rid of that because we're not a building in the fact that a physical building you go to. We are the building. We are the body of Christ. And third chapter of Corinthians says that, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Lord, you know, and it's supposed to be holy, like Trevor said, mm-hmm. and we don't see that. But today it's just a lot of the blind leading the blind. In all these religious institutions, I'm sorry, but they're in error, and they can't see the, you know, see the truth. And I can't stop talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, it's depressing that, and it's getting to be late in the day, I believe, you know, they just, well, I don't want to talk about that. Let's go on to something else. Or I can see what's wrong, but, you know, they'll tell you, but they don't change or acknowledge the seriousness of the matter. They won't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad state of affairs we're in today, even in the church. And if we don't, it's a matter of life and death, and woe be unto us if we don't change. It's a spiritual death to us. If the body of Christ don't return to Jesus, it's first love. So, you know.
Wow.
And there's always those, Trevor, you know, they come up, well, that isn't my church that you're talking about. You know, oh, yes, it is. The world can see the error, and they call you crazy. And you know what? For all these religious zealots, cause that's what they are. They're just like the Pharisees. They're religious zealots.
Yes.
And people, they're tired of this. They see it. They see that it's not the real thing. They just haven't found the real thing yet. So I encourage all those, if there's somebody out there that doesn't know the Lord, you just get down and say, God, you know, even if you don't know He's there, just say, if you're there, show me yourself. Show me. yourself. And I guarantee you that's all you need to do. He will show you. You'll know he's there. He'll speak to you. He'll lead you. He'll protect you. He's going to give you marching orders. He's going to have you touch others, you know, through whoever you are. Leaders can't build that thing this religious. Well, they can because they did, but yet they blindly keep, you know, reprogramming these human elements that, you know, we've all drug into the church, you know, house.
Mm-hmm.
We drug it really into the body of Christ. And, you know, and then Jesus sits outside the four walls.
Yes.
All that and every bit of this. And to be honest with you, it's just, all this stuff looks beautiful in the eyes of humans. And it sounds good to our ears. And, you know, emotionally, it gives us an emotional high. All of that is leaven. It's leaven. Oh, but you just didn't hear this message. Yes, I have. I've heard every message. It could probably be preached in this, you know, in the church house. I've listened to so many of them. It just, finally, it just, you know, got to be just a dry pile of rubble. But it's just like a pile of vomit in spiritual eyes and ears of true believers and the eyes and ears of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you could say to the religious people today that was, even to call themselves Christians, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you with blinded eyes and deaf ears. You know, you wonder why being run for your, you know, earthly, stinking, vomit-infested ministry, you know. Now, that sounds really hard, and it is. It's meant to be. But it's the truth, and we have to stop following these men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Trevor's website pretty well, I hammer on certain elements, he hammers on others. But we're both together, we're of one mind.
Yes.
So, all that you do, you know, we have this Christian peace type mentality, you know, like doctors have their language, and somebody else uses another language set. And we as Christians, we have Christianese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. Oh, shanda bakushi di shalom. I start speaking in tongues and all this other junk. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're talking to somebody who's not a believer, he's going to think you're a real weird person, and mm-hmm. I have to agree with that person. You are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I, don't get me wrong, I mean, I believe in speaking in tongues, and I kind of like Paul. You know, I'm not as spiritual as some people are, they think they are, to where I'm going to sit there and pray for hours on end, you know, telling God what I want done. I just have to start speaking in tongues and pray and let the Spirit hear, and then just shut up after a little bit and then say, okay, Lord, I'm just waiting to hear from you. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to wait and hear from you. Because if you don't hear from God, there's no use you doing anything. I don't care what it is. You can, oh, but brother, I'm in part of this ministry to where we go help the homeless, or we go and do this, or we go and do that. Now, these are all good things, but is it what God told you to do? And if it is, then it's leaven. It's
flat
leaven.
Dead works.
And, it, you know, Revelations 18, 4 through 24, I just want to, that's something that says, heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so you will not take part in her sins, so you will not receive her plagues, because her sins have piled all the way to heaven, and God has remembered their crimes. Repay her the same way she repaid others. Pay her back double, corresponding to her deeds. In the cup she mixed double the amount for her, as much as she exalted herself and lived in this case, it's talking about, and this is what we're doing. We're living, this church, or body of Christ, not the body of Christ, it is the church, it's just a building. They says, going on, quote it, lived in sensual luxury. See, feeding the flesh, that's leaven.
Mm-hmm.
And to this extent, gave her torment and grief because she said to herself, I rule as queen and I'm no widow. I will never experience grief. For this reason, she will experience her plagues in its fatal days. Disease, mourning, and famine shall be burned down with fire because the Lord God judges her as powerful. The kings of the earth who committed immoral acts with her and lived in sensual luxury with her will weep and wail, for when they see the smoke from the fire, the burns are up. They'll and long ways off because they are afraid of her torment and will say, "Whoa, whoa, oh great Babylon, the powerful city, for in a single hour your doom has come." Now he's talking about the religious institution of today. I mean, actually the whole religious institution from day one, but you know, he's just talking about in Revelation 17, the mystery Babylon, you know, and then and talking about the mother of harlots, and you know, that's a story unto itself. But he's still talking about, you know, whoa, whoa, great city, dressed in fine linen and purple, scarlet clothing, adorned with gold and stones and pearls, and yet all that wealth is going to go poof. That was my paraphrase on that.
Yeah.
Every ship's captain, all who sail along the coast, who made a living, their living from the sea, stood a long ways off and began to shout when they saw the smoke of the fire that burned up. Who was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were shouting and weeping and mourning. Whoa, whoa, oh, great city, in which all those things had ships on the sea got rich from her wealth because in a single hour she has been destroyed. But verse 20 says, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has pronounced judgment against her on your behalf." He's talking about this religious institution that's coming, and everything is being brought into it. It's brought in, you know, using the name of Christ and the whole enchilada. But I'm telling you, it's going to come. It's like says, "Then one powerful angel picked up a stone like a huge millstone, threw it in the sea." And then says, "This with this kind of savage, violent force, Babylon, the great city, will be thrown down and will never be found again. And the sounds of all the harpists, musicians, flutes, and trumpeters will never be heard again." You know, I had thought about that. I said, "What's he talking about? He seems to be talking about musicians." And you know what? Music is one of the greatest pieces of leaven that we have here on earth. Music just draws, you know, even our Christian music is, I'm sorry, but, you know, you need to be careful with what you're listening to. You need to be careful where it comes from, because it all is based on, you know, being, well, it's based on the flesh. It's based on emotions. So you need to be, you know, aware of that. And I'm not saying that's all songs, because, I mean, the Old Testament was full of songs, but then again, all those songs that was in the Old Testament, they didn't seem to help David one bit. He wrote some of the best ones they ever had, and he lived a horrible life. So, you know, did he really believe those things, or did he just do them in the flesh? You know, when he danced before the Lord with all his might, that was leaven. He didn't dance before the Lord or lay before the Lord in the spirit, you know, and listen for the Lord. He got out there and made a show for himself. So, see how simple it is to be drawn into the leaven. Trevor's just, it's just an awesome thing. It's just shocking to me that, you know, I mean, we can be drawn so easily.
Well, you know, Bill, you mentioned earlier Luke chapter 12, and I want to read this because earlier we were talking about the leaven being sins of the flesh and immorality in 1 Corinthians 5. Here in Luke 12, we have Jesus talking about hypocrisy. Now, I want to read this. Listen to this. This is quite profound. "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people," okay, we got a huge crowd, and I think this is amazing because I'm looking at this like the religious crowd today. It's huge. All these people. "He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." What is hypocrisy but stage acting, playing? It's playing a part, something that you're not. It's putting on a front, a face, a facade. It's pseudo. Listen, verse 2. "For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." This is what the Lord is saying right out the bat with this huge crowd of people, and he had already contended with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and in the earlier chapter, Luke 11. They were tempting Jesus and trying to catch him saying something, and they were provoking him, and they weren't really concerned about Jesus was ministering by the very Spirit of God. But Jesus is saying, look, the truth is going to be revealed one day. What's really true. And we want to be genuine, real, clean, transparent. And then it's in verse 3, then Jesus talks about, therefore, whatsoever you've spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. You know, people, they'll talk with a smooth tongue, but they really have hatred in their heart. And their tongues are like serpents and tongues of asps, you know. They bite and they're full of poison. But the Lord's saying, it's all going to be revealed. That which you've spoken in the ear and the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, Jesus said, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he's killed the body has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So I love this. You know, hypocrisy, when you're hypocritical, you're regarding man, not God. And that's what the Pharisees and scribes always were doing. They were concerned about what the people thought, you know, what was public opinion. But they didn't care what God was not real to them. People were. And they played the part. And the Lord's saying, don't go there. So that's leaven. That's leaven, ladies and gentlemen. Hypocrisy.
That's right. And I'm glad you brought that scripture out and read the whole thing. Because I didn't. And I probably should have. But Trevor, you listen to the Lord. And that's good. Because that needed to be brought out. And another thing, the so-called this Christian religious institution, as I call it, it's really, out of all the religions of the world, from the Jewish religion to God's early people, all the way through today, this structure today is one of the most divided religions in the world. And, you know, that's because this thing is not the true body of Christ. You know, mostly and honestly, you know, it's mostly wannabes. You know, they want to be something, but, you know, they're not sincere in their efforts to seek God. But you can't find him there if you're sitting in all this leaven that's going on, because that's what it is. It's leaven. When you walk through that door and you're given the program, or maybe you'll get a copy of the order of worship, or maybe you won't. Most churches, it's just the pastor and the people that are going to be part of the program of the day, you know, but they'll have it somewhere in every one of these buildings. They mm-hmm. have this order of worship. Well, that's, you know, that right there, that one piece of leaven, the pastors and leaders of the church today put in the body of Christ in these church houses has totally stopped the functioning of the Holy Spirit, or at least 90-some% of the time. Mm-hmm. I know when I was still sitting in there, I knew better than to be sitting there, but I thought, well, maybe there's somebody in here that needs to be ministered to or loved on or something. And so I went there for that. I didn't go there to listen to nobody preach some dumb sermon about 3 points in a poem or something. You know, I just didn't. I looked around. I said, Lord, is there somebody that you want to minister here to today? And I just was obedient to the Lord. And you know what? There's maybe 2 or 3, sometimes 4 of us, that's what we would do. And because we would do that, there would be people that got ministered to there in the house, but it wasn't on the order of worship. So, they would have probably got left out if somebody wasn't there. You know, and you can do that in the church house as well. You know, you can go in and do that, but sooner or later, if you do, you're going to get run off, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to do what God tells us to do, and if he wants us to minister to those that's sitting in that building, or if it's sitting in Walmart, or, you know, or Starbucks coffee house, I don't care where it is, we need to do and go and talk to those people, because there's people out there that they're dying to hear just a little bit of truth. And I sit in the mornings with a lot of older gentlemen that are very, very, very set in their ways. And I says, oh, Lord God, you know, I said, this is the last place I want to be, but it's like I have to sit there. And sometimes I just have to sit there and say nothing. And I just have to say, man, you know, Lord, you know, it just, you know, sometimes I can't say anything because they're, you know, I'm just, the Lord lets me know that they wouldn't listen to it anyway. But there's always somebody like this last week, I run across two people that they did listen, and they, you know, they had went to the building. They said, "Well, we don't go no more." I said, "Well, that's all right." I said, "You know, God's in your house, just a whole lot more, you know, in your home, a whole lot more He is in that building." And he looked at me real funny, and he said, "That's true. That's true." And I said, "Well, sure, it's true." I says, "You know, because you are part of the body of Christ, and so am I. And we're not in the church house today, are we?" And that was on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, it's not about that you go to a building or you do this or that, because there's just too much leaven in the building today. And, you know, you have to find the Lord for yourself. And you can read, you know, Trevor's articles, you can read mine, you can call, you can email, you can do anything to either one of us, and we'd be more than glad to even talk to you, just pray with you, because the God that we serve and the Jesus that we follow, He's a very real thing,
mm-hmm.
and I believe I can speak for Trevor on this.
Yes.
Jesus is the only thing that's in my life. That is it. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing else that's real in this world, because it's all going to disappear. It's all going to be poof, gone.
Yes.
And all that money that you talked about earlier and all those fine things that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
that people, you know, they got to store all this stuff up. And I think we mentioned that in the last series, but we have to get our eyes back focused on Christ and focused on Him and hear from Him, because He is there and He loves you and He will take care of you.
Yes. That's where our loyalty is, because it's the Father that gave us His own Son to take away our sins. It's Jesus that laid down His life for us while we were without strength and while we were in sin. And He bought us by His own blood. Our life is no longer our own. So I just want to say that, you know, the other aspect of leaven here is the false doctrine, or the doctrine of the Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees. That's a leaven. And it taints, it ruins, it puffs, it'll ruin you. So you want to be careful. Put everything to the test, like the apostles told us. What Jesus said, there'd be many false apostles, false Christs, false prophets, and many believing them and going astray. You know, I was listening to something the other day. A man was doing an expose about actually 11 of a very famous, prominent pedestal preacher, I call him. You know?
Yes.
And this guy was associating with TBN, with Paul Crouch, which really promotes a gospel of seed faith. You know?
Yes.
And that this man had done a prayer for those that were going to minister the Word of God, but the ones that came to minister the Word of God were actually leavenous. They were teaching false doctrine, using the Word of God, handling the Word of God deceitfully. But what I thought was interesting was the man that did the expose used language to depict the situation, because he wrote this famous teacher a letter. 9 months later, he wrote him another letter, and he said, and this was his words, or he said, "I called his church office," and that struck me so funny, because that's so contrary to the Word of God. You'd never see Apostle Paul say, "Call my church office." Apostle Paul would never call the church his. But see,
no.
The language revealed, ladies and gentlemen, that these aren't churches of Jesus, because they're called after a man. They're called some label that God said, "My house is a house of prayer for all nations." You know, and it's just amazing. So if you really would listen to the language, it reveals the dynamics of the false religious leavenous terror church. It's revealing. God's exposing it, and you're having to make a choice. Are you going to follow the Lord? Are you going to come outside the camp and bear His reproach? Or are you going to go along with the herd? You're going to have to hear the shepherd's voice and not follow the hirelings. And that's our prayer for you today.
That is.
As we shared today about the leaven of the Lord, just remember, it's Jesus Christ Himself that said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven." Beware.
Yeah. That's true. Well, we don't want to be like the children of Israel when they wandered around out in the desert for 40 years in the wilderness. It's time to, you know, and a lot of people that I've seen, they struggle to get out of the church system. They said, "Man, this is like walking out in the wilderness." I
mm-hmm.
said, "No, it ain't. I said, you're walking in the wilderness when you was in this beast. You know, you're free now. You're set free. So start walking in the freedom of it. I said, the devil just wants you to go back in that place. So if you walk in that, you can be free. And I've just never been so free in the Lord and the things of God and all. I've learned to really, and I get all upset when I see all that stuff going on, you know, and I grieve for the Lord. But, you know, Lord, it's like the Lord said, don't grieve for me. It's my thing, and I'll take care of it, you know, in my time and in my place. And you know what the end result is, you know, because it's written down in God's Word. So, you know, sometimes we want to see things change, but, and I've done that all my life, by sitting in this place and saying, well, I can change things from within, and you can't. I think I said that the last time, so there may be somebody out there that needs to hear this. You can't change it from within. You've got to come without and come out of those things, come out of her, my people.
Yes.
God has always said that over and over in Scripture, come out of her, you know, and be my people. And so, you know, otherwise it's leaven.
Yes.
You do with that. You run from it.
Amen, Bill. Bill, I want to thank you again, Bill. This is Bill Ziegler, and we're broadcasting this important message from the Lord, from His Scripture, from the Holy Spirit, on leaven. That the Lord doesn't want you to be leavened. He wants you to be unleavened bread that's sincere in Jesus Christ. And Bill, you have a website, calledoutnow.com.
Calledoutnow.com. It's very straightforward. Don't beat around the bush. I tell it like it is. You know, if you're still in the traditional church, I love you. You know, but God wants you to be free, set free from all this religious stuff. And so, you know, you don't have to beat your head against a brick wall and think there's something wrong with you, because there's not. Because God loves you, and He's showing you that you should come out from among them and be a separated people unto God. And that's what we have to be. So I just say God bless every single one of you.
Amen, Bill.